It's difficult for many people to buy a home in Milwaukee, even if they have a stable job. WUWM is examining systemic housing problems and solutions in our series called Seeking Solutions, Keys to Homeownership. In this segment, we look at how the discriminatory practice of redlining created historic barriers to home buying for people of color and contributed to segregation we still see today. Redlining was in use from the 1930s to 1968. It's named for the maps that the Federal Home Owners Loan Corporation drew to indicate largely black and brown neighborhoods that the organization deemed to be too risky for home loans. Redlining prevented many people of color from obtaining mortgages and building equity and generational wealth. To learn more about the lasting impact of the practice, WUWM's Eddie Morales talked to Dr. Kirk Harris. He's a UW-Milwaukee professor and director at the Center for Equity Practice and Planning Justice. Harris says redlining stemmed from efforts to promote housing stability during the Great Depression, but he says how those efforts were carried out was rooted in racism.
Redlining emerged directly from governmental practices. Government stepped in and said, we're going to guarantee these loans that are issued by banks so that the average American can now afford a home with a small down payment. And that actually accelerated the development of what we now know as suburbanized housing, because what it did was it provided opportunities for demand for housing at a much higher rate, and it provided the expansion of single family ownership by the average American. And when I say the average American, the average white American, because the initial efforts in this approach did not support for mortgages to areas that were for black buyers or buyers of color. And the government created Homeowners Loan Corporation, which essentially was the body that served as the guarantor of these loans and constructed the policies which restricted the availability of loans based on race. And the assumption was that where you had communities that were potentially racially integrated or had black folks in it, it created a decline in the property values and created uncertainty as to the stability of said investment, which made those investments from the argument from the bank vantage point not secure investments. And as such, governmental policy then sought to ensure that housing was essentially not available to communities of color, with the assumption that was not built on any research or any evaluative study that communities that were tend to be black or brown were less stable and less worthy of investment. And so what the strategy was to essentially, through these practices, create areas that were redlined, those areas in which the investment was considered to be risky, right? In which case, those areas were not subject to support by banks.
How are those impacts still felt today? Also, can you touch on what redlining looked like specifically in Milwaukee and which neighborhoods and groups of people were most affected?
Well, people that are most affected by redlining in Milwaukee and other places typically are black communities. And you, as you know, Milwaukee is one of the most highly segregated cities in the country. And you can look at the communities in which many black communities exist, and you can see the stark segregation that exists between them and their peer white communities. And so I think pick a community that's black in Milwaukee. It's segregated. So, and I think that that history is just endemic because of the structural challenges that exist that undergird how that racial segregation kind of initiated and how it continues to maintain itself over time.
That was Dr. Kirk Harris speaking with WUWM's Eddie Morales.